organization. We call the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Oh, what a lame song. Oh, my God. Justin B. Love. This is for your fellow millennial hipster. Although you didn't go to Harvard, he did. Zuckerberg, who still uses Clearasil because he has eruptions all over his face. Although we would know that because, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us in order to keep us nice and warm and toasty and dry by NJDiet.com. He's been out of sight, out of mind. It's almost like the Wizard of Oz, right? You have Facebook. Some of you don't care. You're out there saying, hey, I was able to put on my Facebook post what I had for breakfast, you know, the Grand Slam at Denny's this morning, or how much snow was outside of my house. Because you don't care. You don't care what Zuckerberg and the rest in that empire called Facebook do with your personal information. But apparently, Congress does, because they want Zuckerberg to come and testify, as does the House of Parliament in the UK. And what has caused him for a period of about 48 hours to basically be out of sight, out of mind, and go hush, hush, mush, mush? On the line to discuss it is Alex Kantrowitz, senior technology reporter for BuzzFeed. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Curtis. Appreciate it.
All right, so I see Zuckerberg has finally emerged, and naturally, it's not like he spoke before a phalanx or microphones. He posted his response on his beloved Facebook. First, for our listeners who may not be a cognoscente, they may not be following these details of why Facebook is under siege, what is the problem that's erupted that has caused both the UK and United States governments to want to investigate Zuckerberg and Facebook?
Yeah, it's a complicated little situation, but back in 2014, there was much more lax privacy regulations on Facebook. And basically what they allowed was any third-party app developer to collect not only your information, but the information of all your friends. So imagine every Facebook user has a couple hundred Facebook friends. And so with a simple personality quiz that reached a couple hundred thousand people, a researcher was able to collect the profile information of 50 million people. Then he turns it over to this company called Cambridge Analytica. They are a political analytics firm. They worked with the Ted Cruz campaign and later the Trump campaign. So basically all these people answering questions about, you know, the personality, you're happy, you're a sad person. Next thing you know, they and all their friends are becoming data segments for political campaigns and used in the 2016 election.
Now, Alex Kantrowitz, when you say they turn, meaning Facebook, turned over this personal information of Facebook users to Cambridge Analytica, was there an exchange of money for that?
There was no exchange of money. So what Facebook does is they opened up the platform to people that are developing experiences on it. So you might remember Farmville or other games that people used on Facebook, and they thought maybe it would be useful for us to give people's personal information out to make these games better. So when you want to play Words with Friends, the app developers, you know who your friends are. Now, those are altruistic methods that they were trying to, you know, go for in the beginning, but they failed to anticipate the fact that this data could be used and exploited by political actors, and that's exactly what happened.
My feeling is whenever I deal with Facebook or I have a problem, it's like I'm dealing with the Wizard of Oz. There's nobody to talk to. There's no phone number to call. For all I know, the person who may be on the other end receiving my email is, as Trump described one time, a 400-pound sophomore in high school, you know, who's doing this part-time, who is responding to inquiries that are coming by Facebook users. Why do they act like the Wizard of Oz?
Well, it's a great question, and it is a very big problem for them. So they're a platform of over 2 billion users. So it's very difficult for them to do customer service. And in fact, I would say probably impossible. The remedy to that is to get in front of people and tell everybody what's going on as soon as possible and as much detail as possible and answer questions from the press. And we've been waiting for 5 days for them to do that. We have one post from Zuckerberg. They've turned down my request to speak with him. It looks like he'll be on CNN later in what might be a comfortable interview, but we need more answers and more transparency for them. And because we haven't gotten them, that's why they feel like the Wizard of Oz to you.
Well, and I'm sure there are quite a few other people out there, but they don't care as long as they can post up what they have for breakfast every morning. It's like, that's all I see, people. Hey, you want to know what I had for breakfast? Here it is, the Grand Slam at Denny's. And I'm like, really? But apparently Zuckerberg has at least partially explained the mishigash, the craziness going on at Facebook by posting on his own beloved Facebook. You had a chance to read that. He's posted it in the last hour. What exactly... how is he describing this?
First of all, Curtis, I have to say that your news feed seems pretty exciting. If mine was filled with Denny's Grand Slams, it would be much more exciting than what I've got now. So I'll take you through the explanation. So first of all, he's basically given everybody a lot of information we already knew until this point, that this is something that happened in 2014, and the regulations that it's put in place since then have patched it up. But he also announced some new policy changes. He said that apps that use Words with Friends or whatever it might be, they can't hold your information for longer than 3 months, which might be, you know, something to solve the problem. And he also said that, you know, in the next couple of weeks, you could probably see a tool come into your newsfeed that will tell you all the apps that you've allowed to access your data and give you an easy way to revoke their access should you choose to.
Now, Alex, there have been problems with Facebook, problems with Google, problems with every time you text, and people think that there are bots out there who are taking advantage. You think maybe it's time that the government start regulating what, in my eyes, are monopolies?
I think that... I'll just tell you what I've seen with my eyes, because I've been down in D.C., and I've seen a Congress that doesn't seem capable of regulating this company. They're dysfunctional down there. There's been ads about just simple political disclosure, political ad disclosure on Facebook that haven't moved at all in the Senate. They haven't even evolved. They've just kind of sat there. They're not going to regulate what shows up on the newsfeed because that runs into First Amendment issues. The FTC could find Facebook and try to make it not want to engage in this activity, you know, further, but we'll see what happens. So far, the FTC hasn't done much to them. It might end up being that the government that ends up having the biggest impact on this company is the European governments, which seem to be more and more willing to enact legislation and regulation that will rein in the companies and make them treat the users a little better.
Do appreciate that. That's Alex Kantrowitz, senior technology reporter for BuzzFeed. And let me just suggest that we got two nebbishy schlubby guys who are leading the news of late. There's Kushner, as you know, the son-in-law of Donald Trump.
He's like Mickey Mouse. That's right, my father-in-law. He'll protect me.
Oh, God, is he nebbishy and schlubby. And then naturally with Zuckerberg of Facebook, who still needs Clearasil, the kid is like, what, a hipster millennial like you, Mongolooch, and he's still using Clearasil, wears black every day, same outfit, and is our problem to society. We hatched him in White Plains and in Dobbs Ferry in Westchester. Oh, yeah, Zuckerberg is our own.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this city better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
By 25. Oh, great dance tune by Diva of disco music, Donna Summer. I remember whirling, turning, churning on that dance floor. Except that was supposed to welcome us into spring. It is now the second day of spring, and we're getting hit with the fourth nor'easter. On the line to discuss that, he's been 4 for 4. Wow, man, you should be shooting craps there in Atlantic City, Bill Evans.
Oh, I'm 4 for 4.
Well, let me take a little chunk away from that. Yesterday you predicted that the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, would not close the schools like within moments after you finished giving us the update on the nor'easter. Bam, he closed the schools.
I cannot believe that. Something happened. It had to be Dickinsonian. somebody came to him in the middle of the night in a dream and told him he better close the school. I could not believe it based on his past record.
But I will tell you this. At first today, it wasn't looking very good for your prediction. Let me explain, Bill. I'm listening to the substitute for Michael Savage, the robot Lupe. Well, you got to go out and buy God, Faith, and Reason for Easter. Get out of here. Go hang some wallpaper. The guy sucks. But he was getting some.
But he pays to suck.
Oh, man, this guy is like the worst. Savage has the worst substitutes. But the one thing he was getting was some callers from New York, and he naturally was asking them about the weather, and they would say, oh, it's not as bad as the weather prognosticators predicted. But, boy, you were bailed out because in the last hour and two, the mother of all snowfalls is coming, right?
It's coming right now. I mean, it's snowing very hard. I was just in Central Park myself. I live up at the upper end of Central Park at 110th Street in Harlem. And I went out with a measuring tape, and there's sixes and eights all over the north in the park. There's 8 inches of snow in the park. It's snowing very heavily now. And so, you know, but I love New Yorkers. It's like New Yorkers, as you know, we must have the lethal dosage of everything. It's like if you're just having Pepto-Bismol, I want the lethal dosage. It's like in snow and in weather. They want snow that will kill you. So, you know, now we're getting to a part of the evening where we're going to be getting into some really treacherous heavy snow and zero visibilities. And here's why. The sun angle now has gotten a lot lower. March, you have a higher sun angle. Notice how bright the sky was today, and you could really see the snow, and it was really pretty in a lot of places. The northern parts of the area have gotten virtually nothing. You go up to I-84, there's nothing. Dutchess, Putnam County, Ulster, Orange, Sullivan, there's just nothing. It's just cut off. It's really tight banding, and the meat of the storm is right over New York City. We are the axis. We are the pivot point where there could be 15 inches of snow, and it's going to keep doing what it's doing right now and really begin to pile up because the sun goes down. And now that the sun goes down and it gets dark, the temperature gets much colder and the piling up begins to become even more.
Okay, but that's hovering over New York City. Let's face it, in the outlying suburbs, far more serious problems because of the damage done by the previous three nor'easters. In fact, with the heavy snow, the wet snow that you described that we would have, in which you are absolutely, you couldn't be more hopelessly right. I'm thinking out there, I'm acting like a lumberjack. Timber! Those trees.
Hopelessly right. I'm going to take hopelessly right as a compliment. Well, I think what happens tonight, you have 1,200 customers in New Jersey now without power, and that's during the day. So I think tonight the power goes out in a lot of places in a line from Connecticut, which has had very little power outages today. You people in the CT nutmeg, tonight your power is going out in Fairfield County, and that's going to cut across to Westchester and then into northern Jersey. There'll be more power outages because now the snow becomes heavier. It piles up on trees and things. There'll be more of that tonight.
So now, are they prepared, though, the electric companies? Because the last time around, they got pimp slapped by Governor Cuomo, Governor Malloy, Governor Murphy. You name the elected official, they blamed everything not on you, Bill Evans, and the weather forecasters, not on Mother Nature. They blamed it on the electric and power companies.
Right. Well, I think in Connecticut, Governor Malloy can say all he wants. I've lived there 18 years and back and forth in the city all the time. They have no pull. He can say all he wants, but you know, CP&L, you know, they run the show there. Unlike in New York where, you know, the governor can say, you know, they can end these franchises and they can, you know, give the power to someone else. So, I mean, he has a lot more leverage. He does have that. But I think, you know, here's going to be another test tonight, whether or not, you know, that's true, that he's going to pull the trigger on something like that.
You know, there is a positive thing as a result of your prediction being so hopelessly correct. That is that I don't have to look at that horde of Justin Timberlake, sycophants, toadies, lackeys, and groupies downstairs getting ready to come in and watch him in concert at Madison Square Garden because he's canceled the concert.
I can't believe they canceled the concert. I can't believe that.
All those little girls, you know, oh, it's snow on the ground, but we want to see Justin.
But don't you think Justin's a little old now for little girls?
Yeah, you know, but I mean, remember, it's always going to go back to the boy bands. But one quick question. The mayor took a shot at Staten Island Chuck. Remember, he killed the original Woodchuck. He choked him to death, slammed him on the ground, and the DA out there, Dan Donovan, covered it up. So yesterday, he's saying, oh, I see Staten Island Chuck predicted an early spring. Hey, Chuck, you couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. Beware that Staten Island Chuck may be swimming with the fishes in the art of killing the Kill Van Cull tonight because of de Blasio.
I think the Staten Island Zoo, you know, for some reason, what if Staten Island Chuck, for some odd reason, escaped from the zoo and somehow was in the de Blasio home late at night? I think.
Well, first of all, you know what would happen, Bill? He would get a contact high from the secondary smoke from all the reefer that de Blasio and his wife share on that spliff. Puff, puff, pass. Come on, you know that.
Oh, that's killer.
Yeah, it is. It is. He smokes killer weed. It's Hindu Kush. He's a Kush man. But, you know, he's going to be flexing. He's going to say, look at our Department of Sanitation, four Nor'easters that Bill Evans was right. Four times we cleared the streets. Does he deserve an A-plus for this?
He's going to say, who's Bill Evans? That's what he's
going to
say.
Well, yeah, if you're in a drug-induced psychosis, you'd say, all right, Bill Evans, is it time to get up? 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm late again.
They did a very good job, the sanitation department. I was shocked. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning heading to work, and I'd never seen so much sand and salt on the road at 2 o'clock in the morning in my life in New York City. Not under any other administration have I seen so much sand already on the road.
I would agree. Boy, they had it salted and sanded. And Bill Evans, you couldn't have been more hopelessly right. Four predictions. Four times he was right. Now that salt is going to eat up the undercarriage of your car and cause havoc in your motor vehicle. But they did lay down some good sand and good salt. Kosher for the Jews, Red Cross for the Gentiles.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer.
On the line right now is Paul Molsheim, columnist for the Star Ledger, who is musing, gee, you wish that Donald Trump, our president, was not a prohibitionist who took 3 days to get up enough moisture in his mouth to spit. You wish that he could knock back a few brewskis with you. Is that true, Paul?
Definitely.
And what would that do for him?
Well, this diet of, like, fast food and diet soda is a recipe for a heart attack for the guy, and I don't want to see him die early, but that's The spare tire, the constant caffeine. Diet soda is one of the worst things you can possibly drink. And beer, in moderation, has been shown to greatly improve lifespan. So, you know, the whole idea that he's working under, which is like if you have one beer, you'll die of alcoholism, really has no basis in fact. It's just an outmoded idea.
Now, Paul Molsheim is columnist for the New York Star Ledger. You've written many columns favorable towards this president. Have you reached out and suggested to him that maybe you hoist a few cold ones together?
I wouldn't know who to call.
Well, that's right. There's so much flux in the West Wing.
That's true. I met Kellyanne Conway once. That's about the extent of my contact.
Now, as somebody who's more favorably disposed towards the Trump presidency, what do you make of the constant changes in the West Wing?
Well, you know, as much as I know you are not a big Chris Christie fan, neither was I, but when he bounced Chris Christie from the transition, he just started throwing stuff at the wall. I mean, he didn't have enough people. Christie was apparently doing a pretty good job of vetting some intelligent people. The Donald was just filling spots like crazy. He got a lot of bad choices, and he's trying to rectify it.
Now, let's say you happen to be sitting down and the president was ready to opt for your suggestion and you were going to have a Valentine blast. You and him, you're going to sit there, you're going to jawbone. What advice would you give this president about what seems to be his ever-increasing desire to fire Mueller and his inquisitors?
I would say stop tweeting, number one, because when it was your personal popularity, that actually worked for you, but you've got all the whole Congress is up for election this fall, and you're hurting those guys now. You know, it's not just you anymore. When it was just you, fine, it worked. You won the election. And, of course, I wouldn't fire Mueller now. I'd wait to see what he comes up with.
Now, Stormy Daniels will be primetime Sunday on 60 Minutes. You're going to be watching, right, Paul?
Definitely.
And what do you anticipate to come out of this?
I think Stormy, you know, Stormy has already told the story of how she went to the hotel and met him, and he was in his pajamas, and he basically, you know, it didn't reflect well on Stormy. She basically said, well, he was rich, so I had sex with him, you know. It reflected worse on her than on him, you know. And I think you'll hear that with more gory detail thrown in. And, you know, there's all these women out there from before he was president. I don't think there's much doubt about it. But he wasn't president then, so, you know, it doesn't go anywhere as far as I'm concerned.
So your basis is Paul Molschein, columnist for the New York Star-Ledger. It's a washout, although somehow I just don't think that'll be the end of the story. Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes this Sunday.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
As we continue here in the Drive Home at 5, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening on Rikers Island and other correctional facilities where COs, the screws, are being confronted by the inmates, and they're catching beatdowns. And there's no retaliation. COs are not flexing. There's no segregation, no throwing them in the bing, because this is de Blasio land. We don't want to enrage the inmates or add to the crime blotter. And that's exactly what's going on in the streets, too, with the NYPD. I'll give you an example. Listen to this group of jackals and vultures in Washington Heights as they start jabbering away and verbally abusing police officers who responded to the scene. And the cops, instead of confronting them, put their tails through their legs and walk away.
I didn't pull out my gun.
He was about to.
No, I wasn't. Did you feel threatened? Because he was behind you?
Right.
Out of here, bro.
Wow. I mean, this was a combination of cops, white, black, Hispanic, and you heard the one Asian cop as this jackal called him Jackie Chan, get out of here. But they were not only verbally abusive, they were threatening to the cops. And you see, what most people don't understand is these enemies of society, they understand only one language, and I know it because I've been applying it to them constantly for 39 years as leader of the Guardian Angels. It's called freaking pain compliance. If you're going to threaten a police officer out in the streets and then video it and then it goes viral, that's threatening the lives of police officers all over the city. So cops, you got to get busy. You pull that truncheon out. You pull that blackjack out. You pull that billy club out and you start singing and winging.